Hello and welcome to Encounter Prayer, a podcast resource for the Year of Prayer in the Diocese of Nottingham. Each month we'll interview someone from the Diocese of Nottingham and ask them to share with us a little bit about their prayer life, so that we can discover and showcase many different types of prayer. It is our hope that this podcast and the many other resources available on our diocesan website will help you grow closer to Christ in this very special year. We want this year to be a year of encounter, or maybe re-encounter, for you in your relationship with God. Let every time of prayer be an opportunity for you to speak heart to heart with our Lord and come to know him in the way that he wants you to know him, to understand his love for you and the mission that he has set upon your heart. In this second episode, our focus is on Lectio Divina, that is the prayerful reading of Scripture. Our guests who will be leading us in prayer today are two members of the Seven Steps Scripture Sharing Group in Leicester. This group meets weekly and takes of its focus the coming Sunday's readings. By reading, reflecting, and sharing their thoughts together, they try to discern and discover what our Lord is saying to them personally and as a group. It was such an incredible experience to be guided through this type of prayer by Sophie and Sean. If you are able to sit with a Bible and follow this podcast, the reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 43 to 47. Do not worry though if you're listening to this in the gym, while doing some work, or maybe driving, because the reading is read aloud for you and allows you to enter into the prayerful time as well. Wherever you are, we invite you to fully engage with this podcast by joining in the points where you're invited to share your thoughts or words that jump out to you, so that it is a deeply prayerful experience, not to be witnessed, but to be encountered together. So I'm delighted to have with me both Sean and Sophie, who are part of the Seven Steps Bible study program here in Leicester. So very warm, I say warm welcome, but you've invited me here to Leicester. So thank you very much for saying yes to being part of the podcast. So do you want to introduce yourselves?
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. My name is Sophie. I've been running our family business for the past decade in a little village called Syston, North Leicestershire. I was fortunate as a child to have a very inspiring parish priest who assisted in guiding my faith throughout my years. However, reaching my 30s, I felt I was craving a deeper level of understanding and a deeper dimension to my faith. Circa 2020, said parish priest and our Seven Steps founder, Father Anthony, invited me to join our Seven Steps group. And here I am today.
Excellent. And Sean, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you discovered the Seven Steps program?
Yeah, great. It's great to have you here in Leicester. I'm also like Sophie. I'm not from Leicester. I'm from Loughborough, but I work in Leicester. I'm a translator and also I work at the university as well here in Leicester. I guess my journey to Seven Steps is similar to my journey into the Catholic faith as a whole. Like I was a late convert to the faith as an adult, and I'd spent a long time hovering on the edges of the faith in a sort of a curious but reluctant way. And it was really Seven Steps. I had the opportunity to do a Seven Steps session at the Rosmini Prayer Center. And it was a sort of a lightning flash moment for me. And the strength of that encounter sort of pushed me into joining the church fundamentally. And I joined an RCIA program, also run by Father Anthony. That was a program run on a sort of a, it was a catechetical program run on a lectionary basis. So we would study the upcoming gospel reading for the following Sunday. And then that would be related back to the catechism. And we had sort of do our catechetical content through the mirror of the scriptures. And I found that incredibly moving experience, and that carried me into full communion with the church, and that's sort of where I've been since. And I suppose my history with this group is that, well, when I reached the end of my RCIA program, it just sort of stopped, and I realized how much I'd become reliant on it, and how important it was to me and to my faith. And when it turned out there was a group separate from the program that was starting, I leapt at the chance and was one of the one of the first members of the group, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, both of you, for sharing that with us. So tell us about, now that you've been part of the Seven Steps, how has it impacted your life as a whole, and particularly your prayer life?
I found for myself, particularly, and with the profession in what I do, it's very easy to get caught up in, you know, work life and the whole sort of chaotic daily regime and weekly regime. However, by having the weekly meetups, it makes you accountable to show up, because it's well and fair saying, you know, I must have an hour of prayer into my weekly or daily life. But by having that weekly meetup, it makes you accountable to actually turn up, forces you to switch off the outdoor world and engage in what prayer should be. And it's not just, obviously, by having that weekly meetup, it also encourages you to do that daily as well at home, and almost educates you in how to pray, which you would think is something so simple, but there's such a deeper and greater level to it, and so much more that there's so much more fruit that is there to be taken and sort of relished in. So yeah, it's definitely a very unique and special community that we're in.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's wonderful to hear. I'm definitely hearing a lot of kind of echoes with some of the things that Bishop Patrick was saying in our last podcast, where he said about how his prayer life went from kind of saying prayers to actually praying, really, and that there's quite a difference between those kind of two things, really. So it's wonderful to hear how this has helped you, that, and that's very much what we're hoping these podcasts throughout this year of prayer will help people kind of go deep into their prayer life. I'm really looking forward to hearing how the Seven Steps prayer time really works. And Sean, what about yourself? How have it helped you in your prayer life and life in general?
In so many ways, really. And I think it's sort of, I suppose the best bit is it's sort of grown with my prayer life. I mean, for me, it marked my entry into the church, it precipitated my formal entry into the church, and it's grown with me throughout the various stages of that journey into full communion and beyond. I think, I guess what I value about it a lot is as Sophie said, the discipline of it. It by signing up into a group, with private study, it's all too easy to get shoveled off and shunted off and replaced by something kind of apparently more pressing, but yep, probably not in reality. Whereas having an obligation to come every week, it does really hold your feet to the fire and for the benefit of you. I think the community aspect of it too is important. I think we enjoy a great fellowship around the table, and it's a very special kind of relationship you have with the fellows in a prayer group that will never be replicated anywhere else, I don't think. I find it also deepens my appreciation of the liturgical life of the church as well. I do find that. I find there was a period when we were following the lectionary, so we were effectively sharing the readings for the coming Sunday. And when you then went to Mass, I wouldn't say it was like a head start on the liturgy of the word, but you felt drawn into the liturgy of the word far more than, and if I'm honest, I think if there's a weakness in the liturgical life of the church, it's often in the liturgy of the word. It's very quick, too transactional. And I sometimes think people need the chance to mull over. There's often a lot of scripture in quite a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And to have a single entry point into that takes you deeper into the first part of the Mass. And I think then that leads to a deeper experience of the second half of the Mass, and that's important, and that's continued even when we've not actually looked at Mass scriptures or, you know, from the lectionary. I still find having that scriptural voice in the back of your head deepens the extent to which you can participate in the liturgy, and I mean that's no small beer. And I guess I also value the perspective it gives. I think it gives you a more stable Christian perspective, which sometimes in your parish is difficult to maintain, particularly when you get caught up in sort of programs or changes, yeah, or you know, every parish, you know, has good times, it has trying times. And I think if you can have, I've benefited, I mean, we've had some trying times in our parish, and I've benefited from having a sort of a stable perspective on the faith that has allowed you not to get caught up in obsessions that often aren't that helpful to the broader life of the church. And I guess finally, just a real appreciation of the magnitude of the church and its size and its importance and its very individual voices. I guess fundamentally that sort of love of the church in the broadest sense, I think, has been very much deepened by scripture sharing.
That's fantastic. That's really wonderful to hear. I know often I think, as you said, we don't really kind of prepare ourselves for Mass. I know particularly I've got two young kids, is kind of like getting out the house is the big thing. We get there and we've kind of like, oh. And for it to be the source and summit of our faith, it's about what we do in the week really to kind of take from it and build up to it really. So spending time and actually reading the scriptures beforehand, because we've said there's so many, we've got four on a Sunday, and often other Christian services will probably just have a paragraph, a couple of sentences, that's it. And we've got four sometimes quite long readings, we can miss some of the great beauty in there. So that's wonderful that this what we're about to experience really helps unlock that really in your kind of in your week, and to make more of the Mass. And it's really lovely to hear about how the community side of, well, is both important to you, and that accountability of, I would say, I think you said to Sophie about like, this is my 1 hour. I'm definitely going to make sure that it is safeguarded, and kind of like, this is my time really, because I know myself, the amount of times I go, yeah, I just need to do this first, and then something else, I just need to do this first, and then I'm at midday and I realize that I haven't yet prayed at all in the morning, and then something else comes up and I'm going to bed at night and think, oh gosh, now I'm tired. And so making sure having that safeguarded time in the week is excellent. So I'm going to hand over to you two now to lead us in what the seven steps for kind of sharing and understanding scripture are.
Okay. I guess the first thing to say before we start is, I mean, I say this as someone who came from a Protestant tradition. Mm-hmm. There is a very Catholic tradition to approaching scripture, and it is often different to the way you may have used scripture elsewhere in your life, and that it's not fundamentally about readings or about critical paradigms or fundamentally about theology. I think you although all those things will help, and as you get more into seven steps, you'll be drawn into exploring all those things. But in essence, it's coming to the scripture in faith, in anticipation of encountering the risen Lord within the Holy Word. And I think that's fundamental to grasp at the beginning when you first come to it. And I think that leads us really in our first stage of the seven steps, which is we'd invite the risen Lord to join us, to bless us with presence in his spirit, and to lead us into the scripture, because without him, we are just reading. We're not reading at depth. So typically one of our group would lead an opening prayer. Lord, here we are. We come before you today, lacking in merit, but firm in faith and thirsty for your living word. Lord, we pray you bless our gathering today with your spirit, that in his presence we may have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to discern your holy, living truth within the printed words before us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mother of the Word,
pray for us.
St. Peter,
pray for us.
St. Mark,
pray for us.
St. Jerome,
pray for us.
And the next stage in the seven steps it's called read. I think this is sort of, I don't want to say a few things about this, but it's a sort of a surface reading of the passage we've selected.
Yeah.
And we've selected Acts 2, 42 to 47, which Sophie will read in a minute. I think at this point, what you would need to do is just sort of listen and follow a sort of surface reading, follow the text on the page, listen to what's being said, sort of concentrate on the literal meaning, the surface meaning, just kind of be clear about what's going on. It can be different with when you're looking at small bits of scripture, because sometimes you feel a bit thrown into it. But if you, I think that's part of the experience sometimes. You know, the scripture is a massive thing and you will always be a little bit thrown into it. But, you know, merciful, loving arms await you.
So it's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and I'm reading from the New Jerusalem Bible. These remained faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers, and everyone was filled with awe. The apostles worked with many signs and miracles, and all those who shared the faith owned everything in common. They sold their goods and possessions and distributed the proceeds among themselves according with what each one needed. Each day, with one heart, they regularly went to the temple, but met in their houses for the breaking of the bread. They shared their food gladly and generously. They praised God and were looked up to by everybody. Day by day, the Lord added to their community those destined to be saved.
At this point, we move to the third stage, which in the Seven Steps process is called View with Wonder. But I like to think of it more as breaking the word. It's for people who've done Lectio Divina, it's the meditative aspect of it. Essentially, you read through your text again, individually in your head, and just pause on small clusters of words, maybe five or six, ones that catch on you, maybe speak to you. And then we repeat each word three times with a pause in between. These are unprompted. We just speak as they come to us. And we mustn't be afraid at this point not to sort of abbreviate or elide a little bit, you know, play around a bit with, obviously within the meaning of the sentence, but play around with the syntax, play around with emphases. And at the end of this period, we then follow up with a second reading, typically from a different translation. The different translation, I think, is quite important because I think it does... It stops you getting too focused on particular English words. It opens up a space for the Spirit to work. That's the way I feel it. And I think, I mean, I'll follow up with the reading from the English Standard Version, which I think is going to be the new lectionary version coming in at some point this year. I think it's already in use, isn't it?
Yeah, so, it's kind of starting again. Yeah. All the printing ready.
So between these two established Catholic versions, I think you can create a bit of space to kind of let the word work with you. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoted to the apostles' teaching. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Destined to be saved. Destined to be saved. The Lord added to their community those destined to be saved.
Fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers.
Awe came upon everyone. Awe came upon everyone. Awe came.
They praised God. They praised God. They praised God.
All who believed were together. All who believed were together. All who believed were together.
Faithful to the teaching. Faithful to the teaching. Faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood.
They spent much time together. They spent much time together. they spent much time together.
All things in common. They had all things in common. All things in common.
With one heart. With one heart. Each day with one heart.
To all as any had need. To all as had need. To all as any had need.
They shared their bread gladly and generously. They shared their food gladly and generously. They shared their food gladly and generously.
Praising God. Praising God. Praising God.
Many wonders and signs were being done. Many wonders and signs. Wonders and signs were being done.
Shared the faith. Shared the faith. All who shared the faith owned everything in common.
Day by day. Day by day. Day by day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. At this point, we move to the fourth stage, which is called Listen in the Seven Steps program. It's the contemplative element, and it's probably not going to make a great podcast because it's silence, essentially. But for all the kind of outer silence, it's important that this comes some sort of interaction. This is real prayer work of the piece. Essentially, we pray to God in our hearts through the text we've read. It doesn't have to be in words. It can be in imagination. It can't just be creative. I mean, inhabit the scene in your mind. Try to picture the action. Try to discern the voices of those speaking. Try to place yourself in it. Just pick out those details that speak to you and just listen for the voice that's calling you. And this is the thing, be open. Be open to what God is trying to say to you through the text. It may take you completely by surprise, lead you to completely different places. And don't be afraid to give yourself over to the buzz of silent communion with the Lord, being with him breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat.
We invite you to pause the podcast now for 2 or 3 minutes, just the amount of time you need to just spend in silence with our Lord, and then press play when you're ready to rejoin in.
I think now we move to the fifth part of the seven step process, which is called sharing. Essentially, we listen to what's come to us individually in prayer, and we offer it up to the group. I guess it'll be sort of what the passage said to you. Where did it take you in terms of your own life and faith? And it's very important that you do bring your own life to these things. I mean, this is where it really drives its strength from. There are, of course, absolutely no wrong answers, and that we're not looking for sort of biblical knowledge or theological sophistication, just the simple words spoken heart to heart in prayer. It is quite important that we all try and share something with when you're doing this as a group. And it's equally important that we all listen to what everyone has to say. We found it better to avoid commenting on other people's contributions as well, other than to sort of affirm or build on them. Essentially, we're not looking to discuss. It's not a discussion. So we're just trying to share the fruits of our encounter for the benefit of all. And then once we've sort of finished sharing, we try to, as a group, pick up a 5 or 6 word phrase, perhaps, that we can all agree on as something that sums up our experience with the passage, that we could, we call it the word for life or the word to live by. It's something we could potentially take out in the world. Imagine that we've written it on a big notice board outside the church, you know, flashing out to the world what we think we've taken from it. And when doing that, we try not to be too restricted by particularities of syntax or phrasing or translation. We can, as long as we're true to the sense of it, we looked at that. So
there are so many parts of this this passage that's really so fruitful. But also you can take so many different connotations, and it can be so relative to so many different aspects. The thing that sort of jumped out to me was the brotherhood, and it's so relatable for this passage, particularly for the 7 steps, and the unity that prayer brings to the brotherhood and for each other, and also, you know, with God. I don't know, it's the verse 42, it's the brotherhood, but then when you jump straight down, it's with one heart. You know, we all beat together in our faith with one heart, and it beats for the Lord.
I love that.
Yes, I mean, I love this passage. It always takes me back to those very first moments of the church. Mm-hmm. So soon after Pentecost and Peter's sermon. And it never fails to strike me how much it still speaks to us now. You know, so many years on, arguably, you know, people would have you believe the world is so different, but yet the same things that defined the church then, I think, are those kind of essential. I think for me, it was at the dawn of that sort of 2,000-year history of the church. It's the same focus on apostolic teaching, on fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, and just the togetherness of the church, the unity of the church. And I think those are still the wellsprings of our strength, and those are still things we need to concentrate on and do better. I also love the day by day part, which I think is repeated twice in the passage.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we're impatient people, aren't we? We always want to see the answer now. Mm. And actually, you know, day by day, 2,000 years ago, it's still day by day now. We work to the Lord's time, and we work to the Spirit's time, and we just have to be patient, keep returning to those wellsprings of the faith, and come to them again and again and again, day by day by day, and it'll carry us to where the Lord wants us.
I think for me, I kind of thinking what kind of two focuses, me personally, and then also thinking about my own parish as well, really, and my work with parishes across the diocese really stood out to me. A passage I thought I know so well until we sat down and actually really broke it open, and they spent much time together, and actually thought, hold on, actually, I'm hoping and trying to encourage my, like, in my own, want to see my own parish grow and everything, of like, how much time do I actually spend with these people, of like, how, well, we can't grow the community if we're not spending time together. And then I've like, as you said, Sean, kind of brought back to actually, I've like, well, how are we ever going to kind of like crisis there, kind of like, how are we ever going to get to that stage? But actually, day by day, the Lord added to their number. Obviously, we think of Pentecost when like thousands came, but actually, maybe next week, one extra person came and so on. And I just thought, actually, yeah, just living that moment with the Lord day by day and seeing what we're doing with the Lord today and how we're going beyond myself. And as I said before, when I arrive at Mass, just kind of thinking, oh, I'm here. But actually, who else is here? And the importance of the brotherhood and seeing how we support one another, that have really jumped out to me, really, to kind of widen my focus of my experience of the church, of my parish, of the faith.
I think that's the going back to, probably slightly off topic, but with the seven steps itself, that's the beauty of this community. Is that, just reflecting on what you were saying about your parish, how it gives you that internally between everybody here, they're all from different parishes and different parts of Leicestershire. And it gives you that opportunity to chat to one another and, you know, to really dissect, as you say, just dissect the passage. And it gives you that opportunity to see different people's aspects and different people's outlooks on what this passage has given them, and it opens your eyes up onto how much more is available in, you know, such a short snippet. And that's something really beautiful that I don't think is, it's, you can only achieve that by sharing. And this is what this group does so beautifully. But yeah, it's just, it's nice that it, obviously it touched upon that in this passage as well, about sharing and just distributing it among themselves according to what each one needed.
And you get a sense of just how radical the church was then, and still is, if we think about it. I mean, there's this model of fellowship. There is nowhere else in society where this is done, and it's as, I think it's as radical now as it was in, you know, in the first century. And I think we need to own that as Christians. You know, we're called to model a greater community, to model something that no one else can. And that's daunting, but sort of empowering too, I think.
Absolutely. I think we're probably even more like apostolic times once again, really. Though we think about in the Victorian time, the church being allowed back in the country, but the country as a whole still had a Christian feel to it. And we hear that over half the country didn't recognize themselves as Christian, maybe different faith or no faith at all. But we've kind of, we're probably in those times again and seeing that awe and wonder we've worked. And it's like, it's the same Holy Spirit empowering us with us. We can once again perform awes, cause awe and wonder. Wonders and signs, that was it.
So if we were going to pick a phrase that sums up our joint encounter, what would we go with, do you think?
Oh, I'm struggling with this one because there's so many. So it might take a bit of debating.
I mean, that's the beauty of looking at it in micro, isn't it? You suddenly, you get a sense of just the magnitude of Scripture. You know, you hold this weighty book in your hand and you've only looked at, you know, seven lines, and there's just so much there, isn't there?
Yeah. I'm sort of being called to each day with one heart.
I like that.
Touches on what you mentioned day by day.
And it brings in the community aspect of all we discussed.
And the beating of of our faith.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Or for a bigger fight we thought.
Right. which means we move on to the sixth step, which is called plan for action in the seven step program. I think this possibly goes back to the sort of the history of the seven steps, which was as a sort of it was a kind of tool to enable mission, particularly in Southern Africa. And it was about empowering small groups who often didn't have a very frequent access to the sort of parochial architecture of, that we have in Europe, which ironically, as you're talking about going back to apostolic times, potentially something not inconceivable for England at least. But I think that plan for action should be in the wider sense of the term. I think it can be an action for the group as a whole in terms of a particular kind of ecclesial task. But I mean, it can just be about how we're going to carry the fruits of our encounter out into our lives in more prosaic, more personal ways. But it can be ambitious too. And I think this is the missionary element of it. And I think that's what the Lumco's origin, the Seven Steps origin in mission, I think speaks to us even today, that the churches should be no less missionary now. And I mean, Bishop Patrick has spoken of our need to be missionary disciples. And I think this is an opportunity for the group to think about how we're going to carry that out into mission in the broader sense, and both kind of personal and collective. Any ideas? Or
I don't know with the plan for action, we could, if there's any further development on setting or beginning to establish an additional seven steps, or whether anybody from, you know, that might be listening would welcome to reach out to us. And even if it's just one little step on how do we begin to form something, that would be, you know, I think that wouldn't be a bad course of attack.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We can, on our Darson website, darsonnottingham.uk/year of prayer, we'll put some things, resources about how to do seven steps, definitely. So you're listening thinking, that's great. And then also will be a contact for me, and then I can put you in touch with Sean and Sophie from there, really, if you want a little bit of help kind of getting going. Because I think now for our thinking during that with a real silent listening time of like, how do we get more of these groups? How do we get more of these groups, Lord? So I think that'd be wonderful, even if one more group, that'd be an incredible thing of more people being able to encounter the Lord in this way.
I mean, we don't only do physical weekly meetings. We also do like a Zoom call.
Oh, excellent.
Where we welcome anybody that may be, you know, intrigued or just wants to have a little insight and just experience, or, you know, to sit by. And that really is a great opportunity. And if anybody, you know, would like to tune in and join us with no obligation of participating, just to, you know, just to experience it and seeing what the Lord can call out to them during that time, you know, that would also, you know, we'd really, really welcome that with open arms.
Fantastic.
And also, you don't have to travel.
Yeah,
wherever,
absolutely.
You can be wherever you are in the country.
Yeah, or the world. Who knows?
Yeah, for that matter. So yeah, if anybody's out there thinking, I wonder what it's like, don't be afraid. Because for me, myself, well, definitely for myself, I was drawn to, because I think I grew up as a Catholic, my roots, obviously, my knowledge of the faith was, from what I recall, was being, you know, in RE classes, which was some years ago. So yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to definitely grasp it with both hands.
Absolutely. And if the kind of classic Catholic stereotype of us not knowing the Bible very well, for them to feel confident joining a group, because I think I'll have to know a certain amount, but not at all, really.
Yeah.
If you say, like, we didn't look at the history of anything like that, or the Greek of anything, we just looked at what if the Lord's saying to us in these words.
And I think that's the real strength of it. You can bring encyclopedic knowledge to it, or you can bring no knowledge to it. And I think actually the encounter is the same.
Yeah.
And I think the beauty of these groups is that we fertilize each other. I mean, we have in our group, we have people who study theology and we have people who don't at all. But, you know, I think we each bring elements from, I think that the binding thing is you always realize that there's always more to be heard than you can hear yourself.
Yeah.
And when we share it, we come to a,
yeah.
you sort of hear more the spirit in stereo rather than in just that sort of that monotone voice you hear in your own private study. And it really expands that immensely. And to reemphasize what Sophie was saying, I mean, we'd be delighted in the group to help anyone who wants to start a group or experiment with the group themselves. And there are some others that have started, but we'd love to see it expand, and we'd love to see it expand beyond Leicestershire as well. So please do get in touch. And we'll...
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure I was just thinking this, like, whatever you're listening to this on, it's a bit weird speaking to people in the future out there, wherever you may be. You should, if you're listening to this, Apple Podcasts, Google or Spotify, whatever it may be, you should be able to kind of open it up, and there should be some what I think called show notes or things, and we'll definitely be able to put a link in there. Can find it, but also ever say diocesofnottingham.uk/year of prayer will be a great starting point for us to kind of reach out, and an email address there, so you can put that out there, so you can get, and I'll put you straight in contact with Sean and Sophie, and especially I think joining on a Zoom would be a great first steps into that. How often do you meet on Zoom?
It's usually the first session of every month.
Oh, excellent.
So, if you make contact, someone will send you a Zoom link, and you can see if it's for you. So
that's brilliant.
Hopefully it is.
excellent. Thank you.
Which leads us to the seventh step, which is prayer. Pray, apparently. And I guess this is an opportunity to just, for people to spontaneously pray in whatever way they like. And I mean, we're quite a varied group here in Leicester, and reflection of the city itself. And, you know, people will pray in a variety of different ways. And that's brilliant. I think it's all grist to the mill. And I think it's an opportunity for anyone to pray for anything particularly important in their lives at the moment, or anything that they really feel needs saying, or any reflection on the session that's happened. And then we bring it all together with a prayer that everyone knows. We'll usually use the Lord's Prayer.
Lord, we pray for those within our Seven Steps group, for those listening to the podcast, and for those yet to awaken to the Holy Spirit. We pray they may be filled with the Holy Spirit. May their souls be led to the word of the Lord. With this we ask, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, praying gratitude for the opportunity to encounter your word in this way. You lead us always deeper into your truth, day by day, in a way we can't ever hope to deserve, but in a way we also can't hope to live without. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity today to reflect on how you're calling us to live our faith together. I ask you to relieve any anxieties in our parishes, in our different communities of faith across this diocese and further afield of our Lord throughout the church, that will focus on following you day by day. To not try and overreach farther than where you're calling us to stand and step. Particularly in our own faith, Lord, that the challenges that we face, we know we don't face alone. And pray particularly for anybody who's listening to this and going through a time of difficulty, that they'll feel your presence walking beside them. And then that you'll draw to them the people that you've placed in their community who are able to assist them, to be your presence to them. Amen.
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 Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. And that sort of concludes the seven steps.
That was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Sophie and Sean. I really love that. When you said which passage of scripture we're going to read, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I've said before, like I know that and everything is. And then as soon as we started that step three of kind of saying it in different parts, of like, I do not know this scripture at all. The bits I just glossed over.
Yeah.
And I had a different translation as well for that of great hearing all the three different translations and experience it that way. And I got so much out of it. I came today to record a podcast and I had a deep encounter with the Lord, which is wonderful. So thank you so much for leading us in that.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's really good.
Thank you both Sophie and Sean for joining us today, for sharing this wonderful, really wonderful way of exploring scripture that is so easy to kind of grab hold of and do. And I'll be praying for your group and the wonderful ministry that you are carrying out here in Leicester and Leicestershire. And as we said earlier on, please do get in contact with us. Sophie and Sean, I'm sat in front of them. You can't see their faces, but I can. They're eager to support and help you. It's not just for show, if we're completely genuine. So do get in contact. And I know you'll have a wonderful experience because I have had today. So thank you so much. If there's anything in particular we could be praying for, either of you, as we go out back into the world or whatever people may be doing while they're listening to this.
Just pray for the church, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's never been more in need of prayer than she is.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're trying to do here is to sort of in small ways and in small ways, just small places, just gradually re-energize the church.
Absolutely.
In this country and to make her a more faithful servant of her profound calling to do good in the world. And I guess I'm going to thank you, Joe, for giving us the opportunity to share some of the fruits of our encounter here. And just to iterate, we'd be delighted to help anyone who wants to use any of our knowledge for their own purposes.
Yeah. I would just touching on what Sean said as well, I'd really I think there's a real calling for prayer for people, not only those that are going through difficult times, but also those that haven't answered the calling of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And for those that are completely lost.
Yeah.
Because I can walk down the streets and you can almost see it on people's faces that they're lackluster. Mm. And I feel like there is so much evil in today's society, and now more than ever, we really need to answer those callings for the Holy Spirit for those people that are yet to identify.
Yeah.
So I'd like to pray for those people.
Absolutely. There's so much more we can do in the world. There's people, God, who are waiting to unleash and do incredible things, who can only be reached by us and our prayers and our good works and our sharing of our faith. And we think about Saint Paul, who was the greatest, seemed so far away from the church, and it was the goodness of the church and they've reaching out to him, who became one of the greatest evangelists and writers of the church. So that's a wonderful, two wonderful intentions to take away. So I do invite you at home to take a minute or two today to pray for these things and ask the Lord to help us to respond to this call, that all of us who have received the Holy Spirit will be generous in sharing him with the world and responding to his prompts in our lives. Through Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please make sure you subscribe on your podcast service so that you get these podcasts automatically to your device. Alternatively, you can listen to this on our Dyson website. Please also visit our Dyson website, where you'll find resources to accompany you and your parish throughout this year of prayer. These will be updated monthly and even weekly with the latest resources we have available. So visit diocesofnottingham.com.uk facebook.com/yearofprayer. Until next month, God bless. Please pray for us and know that we are praying for you.